नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Text 11. We'll do the words. Tata asuran abhishat asurena rupena tesham balaviryam irayan udipayan devaganan cha vishnu Daivena Naga Indram Abodharupa Tata Suran Navishadasurena Rupena Tesham Balavirayamirayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Suran Avishadasurena Rupena Teshang Balaviryam Irayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Suran Avishad Asurena Rupena Teshang Balaviryam Irayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Surana Vishada Surena Rupena Teshang Balavirya Mirayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Suran Divishad Asurena Rupena Tesham Balavirya Mirayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Surana Vishada Surena Rupena Tesham Balaviryam Irayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Surana Vishada Surena Rupena Teshang Balavirya Mirayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendrama Bodharupa Ladies Tata Surana Vishada Surena Rupena Teshang Balavirya Mirayan Udipayan Devaganangscha Vishnur Daivena Nagendram Abodharupa Tata Vishana Surena rupena te shang bala viryam irayan. Udipayan deva ganangscha vishnur. Daivena nagendram abodharupaha. Tata surana vishat asurena. Rupena teshang bala viryam irayan. Udipayan deva ganangscha vishnur. Daivena nagendram abodharupa. Tata. Thereafter, asuran, unto the demons, avishat, entered, asurena, by the quality of passion, rupena, in such a form, tesham, of them, balaviryam, strength and energy, irayan, increasing, udipayan, encouraging, Devaganan, the demigods, cha, also, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Daivena, by the feature of goodness, Naga Indram, unto the king of the serpents, Vasuki, Abodharupa, by the quality of ignorance. Translation. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. Purport. Everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There were three different parties in the churning of Mandara Mountain: the demigods, who were in the mode of goodness, the demons, who were in the mode of passion, and the snake Vasuki, who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki so much that he was almost going to die, Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun melitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So it is settled that God is a giant tortoise and he has a mountain on his back, 800,000 miles long, and he rotates, and as that mountain rotates on his back, he feels pleasure from an itching kind of sensation. This, on the face of it, to any materialist, is a preposterous proposition. And so, we have to overcome a lot of ignorance in this material world to convince people that this is actually a fact, that this actually happens, that this is an eternal pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how to accomplish this is the task of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So when we look at the current situation in this material world, we see that atheism is actually increasing exponentially. I had a case where a tradesman had to come and fix something in my house, and he saw that all the devotional pictures in the house, and so he became a little curious. He said, actually, I'm an atheist, and I attend regularly atheist gatherings in Jacksonville, Florida, and we discuss various religious and various theistic arguments, and what have you got? So I gave him a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, and he went on his way. He was very thankful. He was very polite. He was a very nice person. And he told me how he was encouraging his children in the path of atheism, and that they went to the meetings as well, and that this was, you know, happy family. That, you know, the family that doesn't pray together stays together, I suppose, was his mantra. And so this is the situation that we're facing. And this is why Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that we are intent, this Krishna consciousness movement, in the re-spiritualization of human civilization, because it is accepted that civilization has to have a purpose that is beyond simply the animal propensities. This is a given. So you see that people strive for perfection in their own particular way. And the whole premise of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's whole premise, is that he, as a living entity, as a jiva soul, has to strive for perfection. And this is why he presents so many arguments to Krishna, that why are you asking me to commit very sinful activities on the strength, you know, when actually the goal of life is to commit pious activities, and in that way to qualify oneself for transcendental life, to attain to the mode of goodness and to release. So, of course, there are many arguments that he gives, and Krishna in the second chapter already demolishes his arguments by Sankhya, by the process of Sankhya philosophy. But still, this leaves Arjuna with many different questions about how to attain perfection and what path to take, whether to become a yogi, what kind of a yogi. And so I thought it was very nice that the other day we were celebrating the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think, in his poetry, expresses the highest achievement, perfection of human life. I take, for example, the wonderful song, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, which is in the Sharanagati series of poems. And if you just examine each verse, you can see that on a personal level, this is the perfection of life. And just to give a couple of quotes from the song, he says, "With great care and devotion, I observe holy days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. And with the greatest reverence and love, I choose as my dwelling place the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. In the company of loving devotees, I will visit all those places where my Lord Gaurasunda traveled and performed his pastimes. My mind always begs to hear the music of the mridanga, and my heart dances in ecstasy whenever I hear the kind of kirtan established by Lord Gaurachandra. I feel supreme bliss when I behold the deity forms of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and I conquer all worldly illusions by honoring the Lord's prasadam. Every day, Goloka of Vrindavan appears in my home when I see Lord Hari being worshipped there. My joy knows no bounds when I see the Ganges, a river of nectar emanating from the Lord's lotus feet. The sight of the tulsi plant soothes my soul, for I know she gives pleasure to Lord Krishna. I feel that my life has been fulfilled when I honor Shak, and a preparation that is the favorite of Lord Chaitanya. And when whatever Bhaktivinoda obtains that furthers devotional service to Sri Krishna, he accepts every day with the greatest joy. This is the perfection of the human form of life." And so how to convince materialistic persons. And so we attempt many different strategies, the kirtan, the offering and the serving of prasadam and the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. These are the goals. These are our dharma. These are our essence. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do, and as much as possible. And in this way, we would re-spiritualize the current civilization. Now there is a joke by the British that American civilization, the American nation went from barbarism to decadence with no civilization in between. This is their proposition. The idea was that it was a cost-benefit analysis, that the more efficient you were, the sooner you would get to decadence, and therefore this was and very much the American civilization as we know it at the present time is involved in efficiency. We have to overcome whatever defects there are in this material world by becoming more and more efficient at what we do. By scientific research, we can establish whatever is missing in the material body, and we can fix, and whatever is missing in the social arena also we can fix. And in this way, we can attain perfection. And what is that perfection? Now, if we go back to basic Vedic principles, we understand that there are four divisions of human activity: dharma, religiosity; artha, economic development; sense gratification, kama; and moksha, liberation. And all of these are, in a distorted way, presented as goals of life. And we can understand that religiosity, because of the unfortunate religious history of this Kali Yuga, has been completely discredited, intellectually anyway, by the various religious denominations and their distortions of Dharma over the period of the last 5,000 years. Artha, which is the current religion of the world, is in full swing. Kama, or sense gratification, the result of economic development, is in full swing. And moksha has been forgotten. It is more or less a slogan that politicians use. We need liberty. We need freedom. See, this is their cry. You know, let us take your unwashed masses and so on, your huddled masses striving for liberty, and let us liberate them by enslaving them in an economic system as much as possible, so that we get the maximum efficiency and the cheapest prices also. See, this is the perfection. So our goal is to let people understand that what Srila Bhaktivinoda presented is the true perfection of life. And this is expressed intellectually and has been by the Vedic sages for millennia, since time immemorial. It is an eternal understanding. Veda is eternal. And we have to convince them of this. And so in the Vedic system, of course, we have the six paths of philosophy. We have Sankhya, we have Nyaya, which is logic, Vaisheshika, which is a little bit enhanced logic. We have Sankhya, which is the proposition that by analysis we can attain the absolute truth. Karma Mimamsa, which is that by simply performing the Vedic rituals, we can attain perfection. And finally, we reach Vedanta, which is expressed in the Vedanta Sutra by Srila Vyasadeva. So these philosophies, of course, intellectually, we understand that they are the perfection of philosophy. Just as Western society is largely driven by the Enlightenment philosophies, that that logic is the ultimate intellectual pursuit, and that by logic we will understand and come to perfection. So, for example, the French philosopher who embodied that was named Descartes. And his proposition was cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. But we understand from our Vedic proposition that it is actually the opposite way around. That I am spirit soul. And therefore, in this material realm, I think. See? He got it backwards, but he was on the right track. To some degree. And so Nyaya is that part of what you might call Western philosophy that examines all the different arguments and how they stack up against each other. So this is this philosophy is already very much a part. And so we see that in the current time, religions having been discredited so much, if you that our proposition and the tradition that we come from is very much ignored at the present time. If you hear any religionists basically in the West speak about religion, first they will talk about Christianity, and if they want to be a little bit inclusive, they'll include Judaism. And if they want to be a little bit far out, they'll include Buddhism. And if they really want to be off the wall, finally, they'll include Hinduism. See? And coming from this tradition, which of the Indian subcontinent, this Hinduism tradition, it's going to be, on the face of it, a very, very difficult to have it Hinduism, then Buddhism, then Judaism, and finally Christianity. That would be the hierarchy that we would see, the parampara more, and finally Islam, because they're after Christianity. That would be the hierarchy that we would see. See? But right now it's a little bit the other way around. So, but I digress. So we have to see that on the personal level, what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is proposing in his Sharanagati as the perfection of life is also expressed in the Vedic literature. In Bhagavad Gita, we see that from the societal point of view, the organization of society, the organization of civilization is based on the Varnashram culture. And we understand that any civilization is based on the division of labor. You cannot have civilization without a division of labor, because you need to have an intellectual class that has the capacity and has the facility to pursue intellectual pursuits and the propagation of Dharma, the propagation of religion, of religious practice, and to educate the society at large. That is needed. That brahminical head of society is required for an advanced civilization. So similarly, you need an administrative class to guide society, to enforce the various rules, regulations, laws that arise from within a particular culture. One time, for example, Srila Prabhupada said that we don't mind whether it's capitalism or communism. We don't mind. But you have to have as the center the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he saw that communism, the ideal of communism, was that people cooperated with each other And in this way, everyone would become happy. That was their proposition. How it expressed itself in terms of their culture and in terms of the actual workings of their society may have been imperfect, but the ideal was there, and we can see it reflected in the ideas of Varnashram Dharma. And Prabhupada said, capitalism we don't mind either, that people need economic development, but we should understand that a real economic development comes from an agrarian society which is growing its own food and which protects the cow. That's the hallmark of civilized Vaishya, civilized economic development within society, that people are fed and clothed and housed, and that the cow is protected, and that other less competent members of society are protected. The elderly are protected, the children are protected, and women are protected also. So in this way, the Kshatriya class is essential, the Vaishya class is essential, and finally, of course, somebody has to do the work. And so Shudra society is also divided. There are Shudras that aid the Brahmin class, there are Shudras that aid the Kshatriya class, there are Shudras that aid the Vaishya class. So in this way, by a cooperative mood and a cooperative spirit, societally, we can attain perfection. Given the current dominance of the commercial class, would, I think, be the easiest to propagate our ideas of what an ideal society would look like, because they will understand that they need scientists in order to do their work. They need protection from the bandits, and they need the workers to help them get done what they need to do. So this is just one facility, one area of preaching. So anyway, to get back to the real point of what it is to strive for perfection in this world, we can see that Srila Prabhupada gave us a wonderful, very wonderful process, and that by preaching and book distribution, we can reach so many people. Already, it is actually very wonderful to me, personally, that when I look at the pictures from the various festivals that are going on throughout the world, festivals in the most unlikely places. I mean, at least for an American-based person, that a festival is going on in Slovenia and that people want to translate the books and publish them in Slovenia is an amazing proposition. And in Tajikistan or Outer Mongolia, that people are keen to print and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That's so wonderful that this will reach all the countries of the world and all the nations of the world. And having come to some degree from a Roman Catholic background, this was the proposition of the Roman Catholics also, that the children be educated. And so they became very successful. The largest single religious denomination in the world is based on their teachings, based on the fact that they go out and they educate the children and set up schools, universities, and so on. So this is our challenge as devotees and the challenge of Srila Prabhupada to go out, distribute as many books as possible, and to set up centers where Krishna consciousness can be propagated as much as possible all over the world. So, to get back to the verse that the demigods were in the mode of goodness, the demons in the mode of passion, and the snake Vasuki in the mode of ignorance, this has echoes in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna recommends to Arjuna that you may strive in this in terms of this Vedic, these various different Vedic rituals, in order to attain certain benefits in this material world. But he recommends Nistray Gunya Bhavarjuna, that rise above these three modes of material nature, and in that way you will attain perfection. So we can see that these demigods and demons, they are not on the transcendental platform. And the whole exercise that is being described here is the way that Krishna is tricking them to come to the transcendental platform and realization. And so we also, in our understanding of Bhagavad Gita, we also have to rise above the modes of material nature. According to our material condition, our bodies, our minds, we are acting according to the modes of material nature with which we have to struggle, and we have to rise above them. And we can rise above them by first understanding this philosophy. And as was described by Srila Prabhupada yesterday in his class, that the transcendental activity, the activities, janma and the karma, janma karma chamedi vyam evam yoveti tatvataha, Prabhupada gave the translation of that verse yesterday in his class, that one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in the material world. That is our personal challenge. That is our personal struggle for perfection. And once we can internalize that understanding given by Krishna, then indeed we can act on the transcendental platform. And as it's so much a question to lose the designations that we have. There are so many artificial designations that we labor under in this material world. And when we are able to ignore, or I won't say ignore, but to surmount those designations, we become Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. We actually act in accordance with the desires of Krishna. We act in the senses. We act for the senses of Krishna, for the desires of Krishna. And then we become Bhakta. Then we become a true Bhakta. This is what Srila Bhaktivinoda is describing in his poem. And so I'd like to say if there are any questions or comments that anyone has. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Quick question. We know that a living entity in the material world manifests different states of consciousness, you could say personalities, driven by the modes of nature, goodness, yes, passion, and ignorance, and the mixture of the three. But someone may ask, in the spiritual world, everybody's in the mode of Vishuddha Sattva. So why there should there be different personalities and different modes of activities? Why not all one?
Well, then we have to go back to the philosophical point. This we have to state from the point of view of logic, that whatever exists in this material world is a manifestation by Krishna. So we understand that whatever is here must be there also. But, and we understand, at least from our philosophy, that whatever is in this material world is a reflection of what is happening in the spiritual world. The difference being that in the material world, everyone is striving for his own personal satisfactions and desires. And in the spiritual world, everyone is striving for Krishna's satisfactions and desires. And just as we as individuals may have desires, as a father, I desire to see my son become a millionaire, or I want my daughter to marry a wealthy person, or and so on and so forth. So in the same way, Krishna also has desires, but these are not desires that are distorted by personal inebrieties, shall we say. And therefore, this is the Vishuddha Sattva platform. But desire is constant. Desire is everything, really. So Krishna has desires, and that is where our desires emanate from. But our desires are then, as I said, distorted by the material energy. So in one sense you can say, therefore our philosophy, we say, achintya veda veda tattva. So one devotee, when devotees first went to South India, they were preaching to the Madhvas. And they asked, the Madhvas are the original philosophers, or at least not the original, but a school. Their school of philosophy is basically to counteract and to defeat impersonalism. That's the basis on their whole philosophical kind of focus is that. So they said, we understand Veda Veda Tattva simultaneously one with and different from the dualistic idea, but where do you get the achintya from? You know, what is this inconceivability? And so the devotee had to answer. And he answered with a verse from the Brahma Samhita that bhakti vilochanena. How does that say? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundram achintya gunasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So Krishna yam shyama sundram, he has achintya gunasvarupam. So he said, therefore we have achintya as part of our philosophy, that it is not conceivable, it is not available to material intelligence. Achintya guna svarupam. And so then the Madhvas, they accepted, yes, your philosophy is okay. So that's the distinction between the material and the spiritual energies. Sometimes we joke, you know, the spiritual platform and the Hara platform. You know, so those of you who've been to Calcutta may appreciate that. So, anyone else? Yes. Can you bring the microphone?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. I hope this question comes out right. It's a little complicated, and I hope I can. I've been looking for an answer for a long time and I haven't been satisfied, so I hope I can give you all the points which kind of make up the question that I can't get the answer for. So I'm going to try and do it in the right order. I found it very interesting that in the verse that the word asurena was used for saying influenced by the mode of passion. Mm-hmm. And also that divina was for the mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sparked something in my mind that, you know, that passion is something that influences a non-sattvic or non-devic or non-devotee influence on us. And I was thinking about, you know, one of our major outreaches that we do in ISKCON is our food distribution. So, but according to Bhagavad Gita, there's certain foods that are considered unofferable, and some of those things, for instance, you know, like canned foods like tomatoes and a lot of other canned things, are taken and we offer them over, even though they're not really offerable. And then we use that to, in our outreach preaching programs to attract people. And even worse than that, we eat it ourselves, and therefore we can't really reach the mode of goodness because we're taking into our bodies something that's, you know, dead and old and contaminated in different ways and cooked by non-devotees and very old. And so it really worries me, and I see that this point is never discussed and never considered. And we talk about very amazing philosophy and very high things, but I think it's very basic, and I wanted to ask your opinion.
That's a very good question. How good my answer will be, I can't guarantee. But yes, this is the situation in Kali Yuga, is that in many instances, we do have to make the best of a bad bargain. And there are compromises that have to be made. I mean, Srila Prabhupada said, well, I could just sit under a tree, but nobody would come to hear me. So therefore, I have to establish centers. I have to create. I have to print books. I have to do so many things that would be considered by a materialistic person to be materialistic endeavors. And we may have to take, as you said, non-sattvic kinds of foods. And by our sincerity, by our desire to please Srila Prabhupada, to please the spiritual master, because I don't know that we have the staff just yet to buy the bushels of tomatoes that are necessary for the various feasts that we put on, or whether we can do that. And we have to rely on a chain of suppliers of foodstuffs. Unless, you know, there is an agrarian, we do create the model of an agrarian society within the United States, that even given our present capacity of what we do, would have to pretty much take over, you know, half the country, pretty much, you know, in order to do it the way we want to do it. That would be my imperfect answer to you, that in an imperfect world, one has to do the best one can, given the circumstances. And I don't think that, this question did arise when Srila Prabhupada had the devotees in Calcutta and in India generally would buy the sweets from sweet vendors from the stores, you know, that Prabhupada approved, that you go and you buy the sweets from this vendor or that vendor and you offer them to the deities. Now, that man may not have been a pure devotee or a devotee as we know it, but Srila Prabhupada accepted that the devotees just weren't expert enough in making sweets. And his point was that the devotees had a higher task than this, in that they had to go out and preach. For the preaching, Srila Prabhupada would make all kinds of concessions. Even there's the story of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he wanted to send his men to the West, and they protested, but Srila Prabhupada, if we go to the West, they're all meat eaters. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, so serve them meat. Yeah. So this is what we're willing to do in order to advance the preaching mission. And we are stuck in that situation where we have to do these, make these kinds of compromises, because this is not a perfect world, and we can't expect it to become perfect either. We should always, there's the shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, dukkha doshanu darshanam, dukkha unhappiness, dosha faults, anu continually darshanam. We should see that this material world is continually full of faults and unhappy. So, I don't know if that relieves your unhappiness somewhat with the situation.
Well, a little bit. I was wondering why we have to be so addicted to tomatoes and peas and things. Maybe we could eat something that's more, you know, sattvic, that we could get hold of easier and make nice prasad with that.
Well, I think the tomatoes are fairly sattvic, although, you know, they're in India. There are certain temples that will not offer tomatoes to the deities, not because they're not vegetables, but because they are videshi. Videshi means they're from outside the country. So therefore they're considered contaminated, considered not proper. So it's a question of degree, how much you see exactly, you know, and how much compromise you can make, and where the line ends, and our line ends with the four regulative principles. That is our yajna, and so this is our banner, you might say, that there are some because like when I was in Dallas Temple, they started. Devotees on Sankirtan started giving out lollipops, you know, dum-dum lollipops. And that was the... so they wrote to Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees objected, you know, this is not good, you know, that you're offering these that you're giving out these lollipops. And Prabhupada said, you can offer to the deity. So Srila Prabhupada made allowances for the situation in which we find ourselves at the current time. And it's just like Srila Prabhupada's admonition to the brahmacharis. The brahmacharis said, oh, we're too much disturbed by the ladies in the temple. And so Prabhupada said, so go to the forest, you know. So that's the situation. And anyway, thank you for your question.
I also worry about the health of the devotees.
The health of the devotees. Well, we're all worried about the health of the devotees, especially as, like myself, we reach an age where health becomes non est, as they say in Latin, that is no longer any question of health at a certain age. And, yeah. It's simply a question of how many non-healths do you have? So this is the inevitable. That's why I refer to that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukkha Doshano Darshanam, that this is a place of great unhappiness and many faults. And if we're aware of that, and we remain constantly aware of that, we can perhaps overcome these misgivings that we may have. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I would just like to thank the devotees here in New Dwarka for their hospitality and their kindness to us. Thank you very much.
Krishna.